Cowabunga! Hello, everybody. Welcome to RetroCore, episode number who knows. I'm your host, Chris. Yeah, I'm just going to go by Chris now. And we have...
And I am Colin. I have returned.
Yeah, so we're using a new program right now. So we'll just see how it works. Anybody out there know any good Skype recording calls? Anything for a Mac to record with, I don't care. Anything, let us know. Because, yeah, we're experimenting. Right now, I'm using something called PowerGramo.
Yeah. So much power, it's almost unstable.
Yeah, a little bit. For some reason, we were recording earlier and it decided to just tell me, recording aborted. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't see why it couldn't have just saved.
I figured it would have.
Yeah.
But it didn't. I was like, what the fuck?
We think it might be because of disk space, which could be an issue for any program, really, but
yeah,
it's happened once, I think.
Yeah, that's the first time that's happened, so.
Yeah.
I cleaned up a little bit, and hopefully this is enough for it to at least record this episode.
Yeah. You had, like, what? You had, like, 24 megabytes
of
space left? Which is not good anyways. And how much space do you have now?
Just about a gig.
Just much, much, much better.
Yeah, at least for hopefully this program, so.
So we think, since we're still experimenting with programs, we might as well try and find different stuff. And we're thinking, or I'm thinking at least, if I have tons of space on my computer, so we think if there's anything decent or something that performs really well for the Mac that can record a good podcast, then by all means, shout out.
Yeah.
Send us an email.
RetroCore@hotmail.com.
Yeah. Speaking of email, what kind of email do we have?
Well, we have a lot of emails, Colin, but I don't think I'm going to read them all because they deal with asking about the show, you know, because I haven't done a show since December.
Really?
So,
that's 2 months.
Quick reason for that.
Here. Anyways.
Yeah, we got you beat by an hour here, so ha. Huh.
Future people.
Yeah, you're talking to me in the future, Colin. I'm from the future, so be careful.
You're from the future, but you like old school gaming more.
Isn't that weird? But yeah, a lot of people just asking about the show, where it's been, are we still doing it? Your answer to that is no. No joking.
Yes, this is our goodbye podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
This is the Grand Revival, and I actually do have a new intro, and I did this way back in December, and I forgot about it, and I never trimmed it up, so I don't think I'm going to... Should I include it in this one? What do you think, Colin? It'll be a minute-long intro. Or should I go the old one and then finish it up and then do it?
I think you should trim it. A minute is way too long.
Well, see, I don't know how to trim it. That's my problem. So that's why, yeah.
Well,
I'm having issues.
Give it a few days or so. I still have to make a new album art.
Yeah, so okay. Well, the format's kind of new. Well, not really. But the intro and stuff's going to be the same. Hopefully next time it'll be fixed. And new art. Any idea on the art?
Probably something related to the topic. This show, we actually decided to plan out stuff, and, like, I don't know. We were originally just going to go at it without a plan, but then last week, me and Chris were talking about some, what were we talking about?
Mario Galaxy 2.
Mario Galaxy 2. One of us brought it up, and I think I brought it up. I was talking, I'm actually a Twitter spy for you listeners out there, watch out. So I was spying on Chris's Twitter, or Twatter.
And, nice.
And then I saw a tweet. Which I thought Chris said, apparently it's called a retweet, which I think should be like a, he's a parrot now or something. I have no idea. Anyways, it said, Mario, basically it said, like, basically from a 140 character text, he said that Mario Galaxy 2's graphics were the bomb. They were mind-blowing. They were amazing and such. And that got me thinking, I thought Chris didn't care about graphics at all, just the gameplay. So then I brought it up last week, and I'm like, Chris, I thought you didn't care about graphics, and then he says it's a retweet, and then we got into a little discussion about stuff, and then I think we brought up the talk, we brought up the podcast, and we decided to plan stuff out, and that we decided it. The podcast needs content, so we planned it out, we've got stuff to talk about, and our topic for this show is graphics.
Graphics. Anything graphics. Like, you'll see.
We have a plan.
Oh, yeah. Do
it's
we
not
ever...
just two random guys talking.
Like we have been for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Even though, yeah, it'll probably end up that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't count. I'd probably count on that.
No, I'm pretty sure we'll have a better structure going on this year.
Yeah, we'll actually put an effort into it.
Yeah, we have a, Colin has a nice little transcript printed out for us here. So.
Yeah.
Real quick before we get into everything, Colin, anything you want to talk about? You know, you haven't been on the show in a while.
No, mostly school. Last semester I've been really busy. I had two art classes, two new media classes, and just some music history, I suppose. And art, you get lots of projects that you have to spend a few weeks on. Multiply that two for two art classes. And then you get projects for new media, which is my major. And you've got a shit ton of work to do. And now this semester, I've still got a full course load, five classes, two new media classes, and then anthro psychology and a music theory class, which are all lectures. So if you combine the two new media classes into one section, that means three quarters of my classes are just lectures. So I've got way too much time on my hands. So I think I can make a return.
Nice. Then you get to play some hopefully not so crappy games. I know in the past I was, you know, I like
he'd always load the bad games on me because he didn't want to play them. They were so bad.
Hey, just be thankful. When you were gone, I played a game called Action 52 on the Nintendo.
That's the notorious
game. I actually reviewed that, so yeah, it was horrible. That was probably the most horrible monstrosity ever put on a cartridge.
Yeah, it's so bad I've actually researched it before.
Really?
And yeah, there were enough games in there that they said, we can sell this game for $200 instead of $50 or whatever
you
the price
know,
was.
Then. Do you want to know how pissed off I would have been if I bought that for that price? Holy crap.
You would have never played a game again.
Probably not. I probably killed a lot of gamers back then. Not to go off topic, but shit, I've talked about it before, but half of that shit was all unfinished.
Yeah. Speaking of games, what kind of games have you been playing lately?
Mostly retro games. Actually, I was playing a PS2 RPG, Suikoden 4, but I don't know. It's okay, but I couldn't get into it. I do this a lot. I buy games. Like, I bought that game, like, half a year ago, maybe a year ago. I didn't play it. I do that. I mean, I know I want to play it, so I'll buy it, and when I get time down the road, I can play it. So I did that with that one. Couldn't get into it. There's Socks. Blaster Master Overdrive for the WiiWare, and Castlevania Rebirth for WiiWare. And, yeah, that's...
How are those?
They are retro. Castlevania Rebirth is extremely retro.
Is it actually like a rebirth of Castlevania the first?
It's called Castlevania Adventure. What Castlevania Adventure was? It was the I want to say it was the first one on the Game Boy, and they of course redid it because no one's gonna pay $10 for a Game Boy game. So yeah, it's all redone. You know, it looks awesome, and I'm playing it, and I'm like, they've had to add to it because there's one of the levels. There's just so much stuff on the screen. I was like, there's no way this is on the Game Boy. So,
never know. How's Blaster Master?
Blaster Master is a reimagining of the game I'm about to review. For the most part, it plays just like it. The original, they fixed the control, of course. The graphics are awesome. The music's all the same. Of course, it's rearranged. But other than that, the levels are different. The little areas are named the same, like Sub Cavern and all this and that, but the layout's different. So, if you know the original, it's not going to help you any. And I should be reviewing that the next show. I'm going to try and hopefully complete it. I like to try to get at least halfway through a game before I review.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't happen, but I try. Or at least play it enough.
Yeah. That's the thing. You have to actually play a game to give your opinion on it.
Yep.
In my case, for games, not really that many. I've been playing Team Fortress 2. On and off. Last week I had lots of time. I had a week off, so I played a bunch of Team Fortress 2 and unlocked.
Hold on, I gotta stop you right there. Now, last time it's been a while since you've been on the show, Colin. People probably think you're talking about the PlayStation 3 version, because that's all you used to play.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a better computer now, and installed Windows on it, downloaded the Steam client, and... To my surprise, there was this big sale on Steam games, so I bought a bunch of stuff I still haven't played. And really, all I've played is Team Fortress 2 on my computer from Steam.
How does that compare to the PlayStation 3 version?
I don't know. I've played console games all my life, really, but for a first-person shooter, the mouse is just so much better.
Yeah.
It's just that I never had a good enough computer to play a good first-person shooter on anyways, so I really just stuck to consoles.
Tells me if you're a PC gamer and you play FPSs on them that you'll never really want to play it on the console again, because
no.
It's so precise and, you know.
Yeah. It just feels like, for some games, like... like when you're trying to get realistic, like some games for the some games work better on the console because you have that swinging feel. Like you're not perfectly straight all the time. You're always a little, like your cursor moves a little. But on the PC, you can't really emulate that. Like at least in Team Fortress 2, it didn't. But I don't know. It didn't do that on the PlayStation version either. But anyways, yeah, it's a way better improvement, especially considering that Valve doesn't even support the PlayStation 3.
Yet.
Yeah.
That is a rumor, though, so yeah. Yeah, they're considering PlayStation 3 support, which either gives me two reasons behind this. A, their contract with Microsoft is running out. That's not even proven fact, but I'm pretty sure that's what's going on behind closed doors. Or B, they want more money, and they're going to branch out into other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rumor we're going to actually talk about near the end of the chat.
Yeah.
After the topic, we're going to mention some more stuff, but we won't talk about that yet. What else? Oh, I also decided to play Metal Gear again. Metal Gear Solid.
Solid?
Yeah, for the PlayStation. How's that? It's still a good game.
Did you buy it on the PSN, or are you playing the actual disc?
It's the actual disc. I don't... Yeah, I didn't have a credit card back then. I play it on the PlayStation 2. I just think it works... It feels better on, like, a more authentic version, I guess. I'm actually playing on a standard definition.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. It's just the control scheme is so different from Metal Gear Solid 4, which I've also been playing a lot. And, yeah. Metal Gear Solid 4 is more of a first-person shooter sort of control scheme, and then Metal Gear Solid and up to Metal Gear Solid 3 feels more stealth adventure, I guess. Stealth action. It was weird, but I got used to it again. And then, which, after playing that, made me think, hey, I should make a level about this on Little Big Planet. So I played that as well. And I built a little beta. It's nowhere near completed. I've only built up to the helipad, up to where you sneak into the building in the vents, or if you are good enough, maybe the entrance, but I've never done that. So I think I'm going to try to emulate that as much as I can while giving it that Little Big Planet feeling and that side-scrolling feeling.
Yeah.
And one other game I've been playing a lot, Hotel Dusk, which... Like, I don't usually read a lot of books, so, I don't know.
Isn't this like a mystery kind of...
It's really a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's, the plot is really a film noir mystery, like you were saying. And it's, I don't know, I like it. I like the story. It feels really, like... The character dialogue feels really natural. The art style is really natural. It's actually using rotoscoping, which is basically taking pictures of someone frame by frame and then drawing over them again.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That stuff looks pretty cool.
Yeah. That's how they make the characters look really realistic.
Yeah.
The storyline, I guess, like, the storyline's good, it's just, now that I think about it, I don't know, the whole story, once you know the whole story, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's what I've been playing, really.
Well, then I guess, if that's that, you want to get on with the rest of the good stuff we have planned out?
Yeah, I'm ready when you are.
Okay, well, before I jump into my review, there's an announcement I want to make. It's been announced for a while, but I haven't done a show in a while, so... Sega finally listened to us Sonic fans. They know we don't want 3D Sonic turning into a damn werewolf. They know we don't want Sonic carrying around a big-ass sword and...
To be fair, the daylight levels in Sonic Unleashed were actually really fun.
Were they? I never played it.
It feels like how 3D Sonic would work. Yeah. And even, like, my favorite parts, like, are the boss battles. there was, like, the first boss battle I played, there were some 3D parts where you would run around, try to avoid Eggman's attacks, and then
damn
it shifts.
Damn it, Colin, it's Robotnik.
Robotnik. I don't know.
Go on.
It shifts from second person and, like, side-scrolling and behind Sonic. It's really, it was fun, it was challenging, and I liked it. And then when you go back to the night levels, it's just a chore. So, if Sega makes another game with just day levels, then that's a good modern Sonic, in my opinion.
Well, we got a old school Sonic, if you will, even though it doesn't look like old school. It's your HD-ish kind of. I want to say.
It's the Bionic Commando rearmed.
Sonic Rushy, if you will. If you ever played any of the Sonic Rush, it kind of looks like that, but a lot better. But yeah, I mean, it's 2D. It plays like the old school Sonics. It has all the power-ups plus new ones. It continues right where Sonic and Knuckles left off. So, I mean, the only thing I have, my only complaint about the whole thing, and this is just so minor, it's stupid, but this is something that I just bitched about Colin at. They're still referring to Robotnik as Eggman.
Technically, that's what they've been calling him in Japan.
I know. But yeah. When they first came out here, it was Robotnik, so.
Yeah. And, I haven't actually bothered looking up a lot of info on Sonic 4. I just have a question. Is Sonic Mickey Mouse again, or is he extreme?
He's extreme. That's yeah. Now there is.
You need to bring back Mickey Mouse Sonic.
Yeah. Now see.
Even as an alternate character.
Well, this is great and all. It would have been really cool if they went the Mega Man 10 route, if you will. You know, and made Sonic 4 like the old school 16-bit Sonic. But you know, this is fine. As long as it plays the same, I don't care.
I think there was another game where, Secret of Monkey Island, they made a special edition where you can actually switch from, they remade it with the new graphics, but you can actually switch from the new ones to the old ones whenever you want. I wonder if they could do the same with Sonic 4.
I don't know, I think it's just straight 2D.
Is it even out yet?
No, it comes out this summer.
They still have time if they ever actually
there's
bothered.
A website, if anyone's interested, SonicTheHedgehog4.com. It has all kinds of, concept art. Couple-second trailers, all that kind of stuff, wallpapers. And a lot of it's locked. It has, countdowns on different stuff. It's, unlocked whenever it says. But there is a boycott, actually, for this game. And when I read it on Twitter, I got a little tweet that said something about boycott Sonic the Hedgehog 4, and I was like, how? I mean, really, how? So I read it, and it turns out people aren't happy with it. They say that this isn't Sonic the Hedgehog because
it's extreme.
Yeah, and it's not 16-bit. That's my only guess. Now, you want to know how they're going to boycott this?
Not buy it?
They are going to buy the original Sonic the Hedgehog. Now you tell me.
That's
exactly. You tell me how that's a boycott when you're still giving them fucking money.
It's kind of, well, you're not supporting Sonic 4. You're supporting the old Sonic. You're supporting the first one.
They're getting their money regardless, though. I mean,
yeah. I guess their intentions are that if you buy the original Sonic instead of the new, go back to old school Sonic, then Sega would realize they want classic Sonic, down to the point, Mega Man 9.
10.
It's just it's like buying Sonic Rush instead of Sonic the Hedgehog.
And, speaking of Mega Man, Mega Man 10, people, comes out Tuesday. But
same NES graphics.
Yep. But if you want trophies, get it Thursday on the PlayStation 3. Comes out Tuesday on the Wii and Thursday on the PS3 and 360. So.
Yeah, I know which version Don's getting.
That's funny.
Trophies.
Yeah, you trophy whore, you.
Yeah, if you're listening.
Let's see, I think that was about it on that. Oh, also, a concern on Sonic 4 for me is, you know, the price probably isn't going to be that much, but they're going to do this in episodes.
Really?
So, which makes me wonder, you know, how much is each episode going to cost? And how long are they? And how long are they going to do this for? Because I mean, you don't want to milk something, you know, too long, and you don't want to overcharge people. Because if I recall reading correctly, the first episode comes with like 6 or 7 zones, you know, and each zone usually has 2 or 3 acts in it.
That's pretty good. So, I think if they sold it for like $5 per episode, that would be a great value, I think.
And of course, the platforms are PlayStation 3, your 360, and your Wii, and question mark.
PC?
No, either that or iPhone.
iPhone. How do you do, like, I don't know, how do you do that on iPhone?
I don't know,
your finger's
man.
In the way.
How are they doing Street Fighter 4 on the fucking iPhone? They are. I'm not lying.
I hope they don't do that stupid control pad thing. That's not what iPhone is meant for.
Yeah, that control pad sucks balls. I played Mega Man 2 on the iPhone, and that fucking thing sucks.
It works once you figure out, like, not figure out how it works, but actually get it to work. There's, what's a game? I'm actually looking at my iPhone now. One of the games that comes to mind that works is this thing called Fingerick. It's a fast-paced puzzle game, really, where you have 3 buttons on your phone, on your screen, and you move the buttons in whichever way they light up. And, I don't know, it's not like Sonic the Hedgehog, where you run around a bunch of levels or anything, but it's a good example of how a control scheme on the iPhone works.
Yeah.
Another one's called Surfacer, where you have a bunch of little dots bouncing around the screen, and you try to touch the screen to make these big graphics like inflate and try to take up, like, by the end of the round, you want to take up 66% of the screen. And yeah, that's another example. if you want to download them and look at them, you'll see what I mean.
Well, I'm sure, man, there's that iPhone, it'll keep you entertained for hours. There's so many different apps and crap, so yeah. I mean,
and then the iPad comes out, bigger screen. Crazy stuff.
It is. Okay.
I'm interested in that, but anyways.
The iPad?
I'm not interested in getting it, but I'm interested in what kind of stuff the developers would come out with.
Yeah.
Like, you can do a lot of stuff with the iPhone if you have an imagination, then take that concept, put it on a bigger screen, see what else they can make. Like, instead of just your fingertips, you could put your whole hand on it. And
I had a app vision, if you will, but it would take probably a lot of equipment, like servers and stuff. And a lot of a legal mumbo-jumbo. Like, I was thinking, like, you know how they have the radio, like satellite radio and stuff on there?
Yeah.
Doing the retro-core classic gaming music on there?
I think there might be a microphone, but it wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't rely on it.
Do what?
I think the iPad has a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. I probably wouldn't rely on it. I'd just do it on a computer that actually has...
I meant making an actual app, like, where you listen to the video game music live streamed, you know, like they do the satellite radio, like AOL radio, for an example, or whatever.
I think there might be some services you'd have to subscribe to, maybe, but I think they do have stuff like that.
But I mean, that's not my music, and it'd probably take a lot of legal stuff to, you know, get that working, and yeah.
Yeah, a kind of a radio app, but
yeah,
like they do have a podcast section already in iTunes, but that's not live.
Yeah.
But do you want everyone to listen to our screw ups and rehearsing and stuff?
No, probably yeah. not.
So. Yeah, like we said, problems with the programs. You don't want to, like,
right.
you're swearing in the background about this program crashing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Okay, Blaster Master. Colin, have you ever played Blaster Master?
No, but first, I think we should take a break and save our progress.
Save our... Would you like to save?
Yes.
Okay.
Saving. Now listen to our sponsors, I guess. Do we have...
No, it's still recording. All I have to do is hit new record, and it goes recording saved, so and it starts a new one, so it's good.
It's good.
Alright, so you've never played Blaster Master.
I have not.
Wow.
So you get to review it to me, and
this
if
is,
I like your review, I might play it.
This is one of the, oh, how do you put it, like everyone played this game back then. Everyone knows about this game, except for you, I guess. But,
is it like a killer app?
Basically, I mean, this was revolutionary back then. Because you're basically, in a nutshell, you're in a little tank. And, you know, it gets all kinds of upgrades as you play the game. But the thing about it is you can actually get out of the tank, you know, and go into little labyrinths and explore and stuff. But, no, this game was made by Sunsoft, which... are finally making a comeback here in the U.S.
Cool.
They released this way back in June 17th, 1988. And if you like this review and you want to play the game and you don't feel like, you know, not ROMing it, you can now buy this on the Virtual Console. So, and a little bit of the story for you. This is some good stuff right here. And then the reimagining of this, by the way, it's nothing like this. So, the plot in Blaster Master is shown at the beginning in a cinematic slideshow.
That's spooky, revolutionary.
Spooky music starts playing in the background. The game starts with a person named Jason who has a pet frog named Fred. Yes, a pet frog named Fred who one day decides to leap out of his fishbowl and out the door. Fred then touches a radioactive chest, and he grows to an enormous size. Fred and the chest then fall into a hole in the earth. Jason chases Fred down the hole, which leads to a large underground cavern. There he finds an enormous tank named Sophia the Third, a vehicle designed to battle radioactive mutants that live inside the earth. Jason mounts Sophia to find the whereabouts of Fred, and to destroy the mutants and their leader, the Plutonium Boss.
So because he lost his frog, he has to kill an entire community of radioactive things.
Yep.
He's pissed.
He is pissed. There's your story.
What?
And it's they completely rechanged it. Like, Jason's not even the same guy. I think his name's Alex in the new one.
So they made it less ridiculous?
Yeah, it has something to do with, like, mutants. It has to do with mutants, but, like, they put humans and animals in, like, this coma-like state where they just sleep and there's no cure for them. And they got your family and you gotta find the cure for your family. It's still cheesy, but not ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous, like, avenging your frog.
And it's funny, too, because throughout this game, Blaster Master, you do fight your frog, like, 3 times. So, yeah, gameplay in this game really depends on what's going on. You start off in your tank, of course, and throughout the levels, there's a bunch of little doors and that lead to these little subterranean dungeons where of course, you get out of your tank, and you walk around as Jason. Now, in the Nintendo version, you look like a big, super deformed... what's a good way to put it? Daredevil, kind of. I don't know, he has like this big, ridiculous helmet on with stripes and stuff, and it just looks like a daredevil. So, and you just walk around these dungeons. Most of them are just there for you to power up your gun. There's these little orbs with the letter P in it, which, you know, stands for power up. So you get those, and you have a little gun meter, and it raises your meter. And the thing about this is you want to keep your meter up because it helps you take out the boss, of course. But if you take damage when you're outside of your tank as Jason, and your meter's built up, your meter gets depleted when you take damage. So your life and your gun gets depleted if you get hit. So it's a pain in the ass. But if you played this game, and now in this day and age, everyone has the internet, there is a glitch, actually, in this game. Most of the bosses can be beaten by a simple pause trick. It's pretty cool. All you do is you throw a grenade at them, and when they're flashing, and it makes this weird sound effect when you hit them, and when they're flashing, you hear that sound effect, you pause it. It pauses the game, but the grenade's still going, and it's still hitting the enemy. And then you let it hit it like 27 times or so, and you unpause it, and the boss dies.
So it's a cheat.
Yeah, basically. It doesn't work on all the bosses, though. Like, I got to stage 5, and it didn't work on the crab. And I could not beat that crab for my life. The game is a bitch. It really is. If you want to see it played professionally, look up a guy on YouTube called Lord Cat. He plays games, hard games that, you know, everyone says that are hard and whatever, or that are, you know, known to be hard. He plays them and masters them and, you know, puts a review up, and he played this one and actually beat it. But then the other mode is, you get all kinds of power-ups for your vehicle as you beat bosses, like the hover, which is very useful but runs out fast. You get, of course, different, your gun gets upgraded for your tank. What's some other ones? And the newer one, like, they added new power-ups in the new one, like, there's a hook shot. Basically, your tank turns into Batman. You're like a grappling hook. Yeah, you're like a grappling hook, and yeah. But, I mean, the game, it's really awesome. It's set up kind of like, a good way to put it is Metroid, kind of. Because there's no levels in this game. It's all, you know, one big thing. You just return to each different area. Because you'll have to return, like, area 1, per se. Right where you first start in the game, you wouldn't know it until you get the hover. But you have to return back there, right where you first started the game at. Hover up, and you hover up a couple stories, and you'll find a little ledge. You go in there, and that takes you to level 4. So, I mean... it's like Metroid. The original on Nintendo does not have a map, so it does make it a pain in the ass. Luckily, in the reimagining, there's a map, and it looks just like a Metroid map, so...
I mean, but there's no map in Metroid.
Well, yeah, Super Metroid. I guess Super Metroid is a better example. Not Metroid.
Well, then the original Metroid didn't have a map, as far as I can remember.
No, Super Metroid's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
You also get stuff like homing missiles, of course, Thunder Break, which just fires lightning bolts. I think that's basically about it. There's also little exploits you can take advantage of, like, if you're outside of your vehicle, you can take a lot, when you're Jason just walking around, you take a lot of damage if you get hit. And even if you jump down too far, you'll just explode. Yeah, he explodes. It's pretty awesome. You hit the ground, he just explodes in different pieces. But
nice.
if you're about to die, all you have to do is get inside your tank and jump out, and your life will be full again. And it's kind of cool. They kept that in the reimagining, so it's pretty cool. That's about it. That is really it. I really recommend this game if you haven't played it. It's really good.
If I you think like, I will play it.
If you like Super Metroid and a little weird tank.
Chasing after your frog in some absurd skin. Yeah, I think I would try it.
Yeah, try it out. Seriously, yeah. It's good. I'd probably give it a seriously 5 out of 5. I played this a lot as a kid. I own it. I have the cartridge. That's how I reviewed it. I actually played it on my Nintendo. So, I mean, cool. Good game. Good stuff. 5 out of 5. And what else we got going on here? Pick new games for one another.
Yeah. So, like our old, like before, we usually give each other, Chris usually gives both of us a game to review. So, I think we can still do that. I just think if I have something I would want to review or want him to review, then sure. Well, might as well throw it out.
What, is there something you want me to review?
Well, we were discussing it. I was thinking Chris would play Yoomp for the Atari XL 8-bit. The only problem is actually finding a way to play the game.
Yeah, is there an emulator for it? That'd probably be hard to emulate because that was a home computer.
It was a computer. Yeah, I'm not sure, actually.
I'll look into it, but just in case, you better want to pick something easily available.
Yeah. Right now?
No, we can do it later.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, we should have done that beforehand so we could announce it, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's really late, so it doesn't matter.
Or we can just keep it a surprise. Never know.
That's true. That's true. We could always do that, too. All right. Then it's time for the great graphical topic / debate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Time for a safe point.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I just passed the save point, so.
Yeah, better go back and save.
Yeah, it's saved.
On to level 3. This is a very long level.
Yeah, this level's... Yeah, we'll have to... Hopefully there's a save point in the middle.
Yeah, this is the part of the game you look forward to.
You got a level grind.
Yeah.
So, Colin, how would you like to start this?
I don't know. I didn't think we'd get this far.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. So... I think it was mentioned before, we were talking about what kind of topic to have for the show. We decided to settle on graphics after the big spiel on Chris supposedly saying Mario 2's graphics were so amazing. We
Now, to fix your statement, I didn't say they were amazing. I said they were really good for the Wii, and it just proved, well, I guess... Ben from Video Game Takeout said this. Nintendo seems to be the really only company taking advantage of its power, whereas other companies just, you know, hey, wiggle your remote at this and play.
Yeah. So instead of trying to come up with some new topic, we decided, since we were talking about graphics, we might as well take that and make it a topic. So, we actually planned it out really well. We've basically organized our topic into four categories. Well, two big categories, the old games and the new games. Old games, Nintendo 64 and earlier. And the modern games would be like PlayStation 2, GameCube, up to whatever we have now. So yeah, and in each section there are two subsections. The first one is about graphics, which look really good. They like take advantage of the power, like Metal Gear Solid 4 today. What else? Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy Rain's a good example.
And then we also have a subcategory for each, on artistic games, such as Yoshi's Island or Wind Waker. So the kind of graphics where they don't look the most realistic, they don't look the most amazing, but they still look great just because of that artistic quality. And we discussed and came up with a list of games.
So the list it is.
Some sections we have a lot of games, some sections we have a few.
And this topic could always be returned to in the future.
Yeah. There are lots of games out anyways.
Yep.
More games are coming.
And so. Yep. And we'll stumble across probably old ones and just reviewing them as we pick them.
Yeah.
Like, well, this one's artistic and it wasn't on the list, so.
Yeah.
Like, so.
So, yeah. We're gonna start with the old era. The games. The old games. So. Retro. Basically, we both agreed.
Go on.
That's the whole point of the show. We basically agreed that games, like video game consoles back then, weren't focused on the artistic quality. They were more focused on like having the most powerful console, which is still applicable today considering the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox. And PCs. Yeah, I can't forget PCs.
Yeah.
Which also makes me think of another game, but we'll keep that for later. So basically, yeah, older games and consoles were more focused on the best graphics.
Yeah.
Since, like, the whole point that the NES was so popular was because it actually had great graphics and was an 8-bit system. Mm-hmm. So, I guess a good game to start off with the old nice graphics is Super Mario 64 for the Nintendo 64. Just because, since it was Nintendo's first 3D console, like pure 3D, Star Fox for the Super Nintendo was, I guess, it was 3D, but it's still a 16-bit system.
It was Mode 7 tricks, mostly.
Yeah. But Super Mario 64 had pretty good graphics. It was, like, it had great graphics for a release game.
Yeah, it actually did. Most console launch games are horrible.
Yeah. And then Super Mario 64 turned the tables on them and was, like, a revolution, pretty much.
And then after that, there was, yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think they've... Yeah, you're right. Go on.
The next on our list was Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation. Same thing. It had good graphics for the console. Another thing that's interesting about the Metal Gear Solid games is they play more cinematically. There's...
I was about to say, that probably isn't... Metal Gear probably one of the first ones that really introduced that, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like,
or at least made it mainstream and popular.
Yeah. Like there are dialogue scenes from games older than the Nintendo 64, but they weren't really done in such a way that it was like a movie. And as the Metal Gear Solids progressed, they even got more cinematic. And now you've got Metal Gear Solid 4, which we're also going to mention. It's half a movie, basically. Not to say that the gameplay isn't great, because I thought it's pretty good. It's a little different from the older games, but yeah.
Right on. I have no comment, because like I said, I don't really play Metal Gear, so I can't say anything. Yeah.
They're interesting games. The next on our list is Dragon's Lair, which was a little trivia. It was also on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Or other game. For
Laserdisc for you noobs are big DVDs.
The records. But they're huge.
Never seen
I actually remember, you watched the Colbert Report, right?
Yeah. As well as up and on.
Yeah, there was this one part where, like, Stephen Colbert is saying something and he's releasing something on Laserdisc. And then I looked it up, and that was a while back, and I looked it up and noticed and found Dragon's Den, or Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, Laserdisc. I remember, man. Yeah, you'll notice me trying to edit myself a lot. That's because the girl I'm with doesn't really like cussing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess that could be more artistic because basically the whole game is an interactive movie, which is a nice follow-up after Metal Gear. Anyways, yeah. It's basically a big interactive movie, and you press a button or move the control stick to do an action when something is indicated.
Yeah. It's nothing like the NES version or any of those versions you played at home. Those are garbage.
Yeah. I remember playing one, and it was horrid.
Yeah. It was really bad.
It belongs on Laserdisc or whatever they use now.
This is off topic, but did you ever see that Family Guy with Dragon's Lair reference in it?
I don't know.
Peter says something about kind of like that one time I tried conquering the Dragon's Lair, and he was showed him riding around on that horse, flying around and stuff, and then at the end, he, you know how when he dies in that game, he turns in. To bones and just crumbles. Yeah. Peter did that and it goes Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, good game. I think there was a GameCube version that got released sometime.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, no. There was an Xbox. There was, I know what you're talking about. My brother, it's on the original Xbox. It doesn't play like that at all. But it looks like it. But I mean,
Dragon's Lair 3D Return to the...
Yeah.
Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, my brother had that. I remember him playing the crap out of it. I watched
Wait. I'm looking at something different.
It's on the original Xbox. Yeah. Not the 360. So.
Platform ports.
Yeah. It didn't play like that one. It was tricky and stuff. It was Tomb Raider-y, puzzly, kind of like that, you know? Action platformer puzzle. But next one is one that you found, and I watched a video on this next one. It's called Jet Set Willy.
Jet Set Willy. It was a revolution back then. This was before the Nintendo, I think.
Yeah.
1983?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well...
Or 1984. 1983 was...
Nintendo was out in Japan then, but it didn't come out here until 85, so yeah.
Well, here we had the Spectrum, the ZX Spectrum.
Yep.
And a really popular series was the Minor Willy series. There was a first game called Maniac Miner, which the revolutionary thing, not only was it a good platformer for the time, but they also figured out how to make the CPU play background music and the game at the same time. And anyways, that's not graphics, so... I'll just say that the CPU basically switches audio and gameplay rapidly so fast that the music sounds choppy, but you can actually play the game.
Yeah, it's weird. I YouTube it if you... most people don't have a way of playing this stuff. I mean, this older stuff like this is hard to emulate. There are emulators for stuff like this, but they usually crash, so...
Yeah, basically the music is just a bunch of boops all over in rapid succession. Anyways, it's a little yeah. I just saw Jet Set Willy before Maniac Miner, and Jet Set Willy is a lot more chaotic looking.
Yeah, now you said Maniac Miner is the first one, right?
It is.
So... There is a way that me and Colin discovered before the show that you can play this, actually. It's on the Game Boy Advance. So, called Maniac Miner, and it had the first level, and it looked just the same, just new graphics, so...
Yeah.
It was interesting. It had the same music, too.
It was same music, but it sounded...
Yeah, it sounded a lot better, but...
Sounds remastered.
Yeah.
But it looks better, but it looks horrible. Yeah. Which is another thing about graphics we should bring up. Some graphics...
Excuse me.
Just some graphics don't look great. We have classic examples like Superman 64.
Oh my god. Flying through rings, baby.
What else would there be like that?
Oh god. Bad graphics?
Yeah, bad graphics.
Anything at the start of the beginning of 3D.
Yeah.
I mean...
Like the very, very start.
Sega Saturn and Jaguar are classic examples of horrible.
At least they tried. You gotta give them a hand for that.
Yeah, I mean, they were the stepping stones, but God.
I wonder what it would be like if Atari was the revolutionary one and Nintendo had crumbled.
That'd be crazy. Can you imagine who would... Well, Atari, I guess...
Definitely,
really...
You never know.
Yeah.
Like, if it actually happened, we wouldn't know the difference.
That's true.
Just a little creepy. I guess another, they're not considered bad graphics, but it's, like, typical graphics. Like, you have your typical extremely realistic Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto 4, those types of games, where they try to... Like, they try to get it so realistic that everything just looks muddy, gray,
green,
and boring, which really makes me want to play Mario Party again. Just get back to the colorfulness.
I know. I mean, I'm a gamer, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if it's having a girlfriend or if it's just losing interest, but I really haven't played much new stuff lately. Like, when I play games, it's either... remakes of something old or just old games in general. Like, the newest game I bought, like, new would be Borderlands. I bought Borderlands for the PlayStation 3 because Sober said it was really good, and it is a good game. I played that actually for a while, but didn't
there are lots of games you need to play. They're just so expensive.
That's the other thing, they're so expensive. And I mean, well, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody here, I still don't support, you know, like, renting games and stuff and all that. But, I mean, I understand if that's what you have to do, you have to do. But, like, Gamefly is... It's awesome. I mean, I'd love to do it. But you got to think about the long run. When your console's obsolete and you don't have shit to play on it anymore because all you did was, you know, rent games.
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting there with the console just with nothing. Unless you have PSN games. But
yeah, that's what they do now. I think if I could be, like, honest, it's probably because you've played the games so much, you just like the familiarity with it.
Yeah, that could be true. But yeah. I mean...
Like, that's why you like Mega Man 9 so much, because it's a return to that old schoolness that you grew up with.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I mean, just, I could, like, Sober, for an example. I've known him a whole life. He plays games. He has a list of games that he wants to play this year. Whereas I can look at that list and be like, eh. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, some people won't play, like, any third-party games. They just stick with the first-party stuff, like Mario and such.
No, I'm not.
Which
like
really,
that.
Like, really damn, like, unless the game gets really good reviews, it just doesn't sell very well. There are genuinely good games that just aren't widely recognized, like, oh, I don't know, Earthbound.
I'd say Earthbound has a pretty good following, actually. I wouldn't...
It's supported a lot by the people who actually know the games. It's just that that's like a reason why they didn't release the third one, because they didn't think it would sell a lot.
Yeah.
There's actually been a lot of there's some really interesting stuff on the second game. Like, they tried so much, like, you know, the games are about, like, parodying the American stuff.
Western
like,
culture.
They'd actually, I think, basically, they took the parody so too far and basically alienated a bunch of people who could have bought the game. It was a little more expensive, I think, and, like, they basically tried too hard, and I guess now they don't want to try at all, even though everyone's like, they want the game so much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think to me, though, real quick before you go on, is games today, I mean, to me, I guess, it's like you were saying, being too realistic. I guess that's maybe what gets me is, you know, I like my games to be, you know, fun.
Fun.
You know, they take themselves seriously, but they don't. It's kind of hard to explain. I like a good story, but I hate it when it's just shoved in your face. And tutorials piss me off. Like, there's no tomorrow. I fucking hate tutorials. I'm like, I'm probably going to get, what do you internet people say? Flame shield on. Yeah, that's it. I am not impressed with God of War 3. I played your demo, and I don't care. It's God of War, you know, whoop-de-doo.
I guess a good example, which could also apply for graphics, which could also be a good graphic example on Infamous. It looks like a serious game, but it's fun to just run around, shoot your lightning bolts, and stuff like that. I haven't actually played that much, and I played the demo, and it was a little, like, the control scheme felt really slippery to me, but I think once you get into the game, it's really fun. Like, my brother plays it nonstop, he loves it so much.
Yeah, Sober likes that one.
Yeah, that's one of the games where you can take it seriously, or you can mess around and have fun.
Yeah. Speaking of which, real quick, 8 more days, people. Final Fantasy 13. And you know what? I'm not that excited. That's sad, too. I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan. I got my copy pre-ordered. Just not that excited. I know what it is. I mean,
Final Fantasy... Like you said, you buy a game and don't play it for a year.
Well, I mean, no, I'm going to play this. I mean, this. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to it, but I mean...
You're just not into it.
It's not what it used to be. It's so linear, it's bullshit. Like, Final Fantasy, ever since 10, is you don't have an open world no more. You go to this place, and then you go to point A to point B. And that's, you know, it just repeats. It's not open world or anything anymore. And they use the, like, this is so off topic, but I guess it has to do with graphics. This has to do with graphics, my next point. Is they use the Final Fantasy VII remake as an example. Since everything is HD now, it would be so hard to make towns and stuff in HD like that. Like they say, the reason why 13 doesn't... Towns in 13... This pisses me off so bad. Towns are accessed through save points in Final Fantasy 13. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? They say... That it would just take too long to make all these different scenes and areas in HD. And like they said, they basically crushed everyone's 7 remake because it's not gonna happen. It would take so much time, they said, that it's just impossible. So
they should really take the time to do stuff like that. I mean,
they should, but I mean, I bet it'd probably take a lot of money.
It would, but if you consider, this isn't a game. I think you know what I'm talking about. Avatar?
Yeah.
That's been planned out since Titanic was released. And it took so long to make, and it cost like a few million, or probably even a billion, I can't remember. But everyone watched it. It's made so much money in revenue that it's worth it.
Yeah. If they did that with 7, they would get their money back. Final Fantasy VII is their flagship Final Fantasy. And if I still say, yeah, they'll probably end up doing it. But, yeah, I mean...
They should really take the time, even if they can, like, work on little projects and release them, and then say, here's a big project we worked on, and everyone loves it.
Let's see, I mean, they could even do it... I mean, it doesn't have to be freaking, like, full-blown HD. I mean, they could just polish it up, you know? Make it look better, you know? Like, maybe Final Fantasy IX style with better graphics, you know?
Maybe.
But...
Like, I want to say, like, Twilight Princess... The Hyrule Town, there's lots of details in it, but then again, they've also worked on that game a long time.
Yeah. Where are we
but
at?
Like, there wasn't that much to explore, I suppose, but there were enough details that, like, they got away with it. It passes, in my opinion.
Okay, before we go on, I have an idea. We've been recording a while already. You just want to do the old and then save the new for next show?
Yeah, sure.
And we can finish up the old graphics, go into old artistic, and once we get to the new, just save that for next topic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we still got a lot of games to talk about. We, you know,
yeah,
so.
we have lots of modern games.
So, I mean...
Yeah.
We're good.
We're good. We actually just talked about it and realized that since, like, I suppose, like, as you get to a, like, realistic, like, consoles that can actually get realistic graphics, everything starts looking the same.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So it's nice to see lots of games take an artistic side of the graphics. Because it's like, I don't know. You can do a lot with stylized graphics, and you don't need a lot of processing power to do it.
Nope. A boy in his blob for the Wii is a good example. That is all hand-drawn art.
Yeah.
That's awesome looking.
Yeah.
Game's annoying, but it's awesome.
I like it.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, really? I didn't know you got it. When did you get it?
Oh, 2 weeks ago, maybe? I haven't played it that much, but I've...
What possessed you to get that? First part.
What?
What possessed you to get it?
Well, first it was only, like, $25, so that was a pretty good deal. Second of all, it's a little biased, but since I'm an artist, I do, like, games with nice design graphics and stuff like that. And then... I guess a third reason, I've played the old one.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but...
It's a lot better now, though, isn't it?
It's simplified.
Exactly.
Like, it's, like, the graphics are Winnie the Pooh style, which shows, like, it's probably designed for younger people.
Yeah.
Which can, like... Oh. When I bought it, my... some relatives were over. My aunt, grandma, and my aunt's two kids. She has a daughter and an older son. And if you take a look at the cover art for A Boy in His Blob, you basically know what my cousin looks like. He looks exactly like it. Him. And then I... Like, he's only 4, so he can't play a video game that well, but he loves watching the games, and he watched me playing Little Big Planet, which is another game we're going to discuss, and basically, he told me after I was playing that he really likes that movie.
That's
he's awesome.
Yeah, little kids are awesome.
Yeah.
They say funny stuff, like Don's son, he knows, it's so funny, because his son knows his dad's a trophy whore, because when he hears that trophy sound effect, he's like, oh, you got a trophy?
That's fun.
So, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't want kids.
Yeah. I've made up my mind. That's why I'm with a 37-year-old. She's already had her kids. She don't want any more, and I don't want none. So.
Anyways.
Back to Vector Man is where we're at.
Vector Man.
On the old nice graphics. I like your terminology there.
Vector Man. What was that about?
That was about...
I was thinking Jet Set Willy for a second. Basically, I think I picked that one.
What, Vector Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because basically, instead of your typical sprites, you have a bunch of pieces of him that are animated with, like, vectors, I guess.
Animated balls.
Yeah. You're just a robot made of balls.
Basically.
Which it could be considered artistic, but it's a way of, like, I think the intentions were to make the graphics stand out because they were so good.
Yeah, and the way it moved was really good, too, but that has nothing to do with graphics. But it's
really smooth.
Yeah.
Like, a good example, another example I can think of about that, I can't remember, it was a Sega, it was a Genesis game made by Treasure. Rocket Force?
Rocket.
I have it on Wii. Can't remember it. I think I'll remember the name when I explain it. Anyways, there's a boss you fight in. There's four worlds. One of them is basically you play a board game, and there's a bunch of bosses you can fight. One of them is called Melon Bread.
Melon Bread?
Melon Bread. He's basically this face. Just a bunch of teeth, nose, and eyes floating in the air, and you just shoot him. I can't remember his name. I can't remember the game's name. I liked it so much, though.
What is it on?
It's on the Sega Genesis.
Huh.
Jet Force Gemini.
Jet Force Gemini. I've heard of it. I don't know if I've played it. You're one of those I'd have to see.
No, it's not Jet Force Gemini. It's... That's for the Nintendo 64.
Oh. Turn on your Wii.
I'm looking to a list. Can't believe I don't remember.
That's funny. I really like it. But I can't remember.
I haven't played it in so long.
That's funny. Yeah, but Vector Man, yeah. If you want to play it, there's a couple of different ways you can. Is it on the Wii? I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's on the Virtual Console. If you don't want to do that, you can buy Sonic's Ultimate Sega Collection on the PS3 or 360. So, and you get trophies. Cool. And there's some retro game on Adult Swim website. I don't know, the TV's muted. But it looked really retro while Colin's looking that up.
I can't believe I don't remember the name. Toadjam and Earl.
You bought that?
What? Toadjam and Earl?
You have that?
No. I only have three. I have Kirby, I have Bonk. Some caveman guy on...
Yeah, TurboGrafx.
And I have that game.
Well... Nice, Colin.
Oh. Okay. Yoomp.
Yoomp is weird. Colin showed me this before the show. And I'm curious actually how it plays. Do you just bounce on the arrows to the beat?
Basically, or... the game is about a ball. that you're that's bouncing down a tube, and the tube is basically coming at you and takes the whole screen. And you can rotate the ball to bounce along the walls, and you can even bounce on the roof of the tube. And there are a lot, and it's the tube is made of tiles, and some tiles are black, which I assume if you bounce onto it, you lose your ball and you have to restart the game. And basically, the ball, it's the background music is really important, because as the beat goes on, the ball bounces to the beat. And yeah. Each tile, like, you have your general tiles, which are, just makes a boom sound. And different tiles that do different things make different sounds. Some, like, the second most common tile is a launch tile, which makes you skip a row. And there are other tiles that make you, that brighten and lower the, that raise and lower the brightness of the screen. Some of them shake the screen. It's really, it's looks really fun to play. If you look up Yoomp, Y-O-O-M-P on YouTube, you can find some videos on it. And I usually listen to it, just the music.
You want the music? I can tell you how to get the music. Go to, this is for anybody. If you want something from YouTube, like audio.
I just record it. I have a cable that plugs into my speaker, into my computer. Like, I have a headphone jack on my speakers that I can just use the microphone jack of my computer and just record from there. But there are some websites that can convert.
Yeah, it's called Dirpy.com. D-I-R-P-Y.
There are lots of them. There's lots of them.
I use it for... That's how I got all the Brenno Floss and all that for the music show and all that. But, I mean, it's simple. You just pick the start time, pick the end time, and convert to MP3.
Mm-hmm.
No download, no installing information. It's all ran off the website, so...
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The game I was talking about was Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, Gunstar. Yeah, I got that on the PlayStation 3. Yeah. I got trophies.
Nice.
Yeah, I 100%ed that bitch.
Yeah, so anyways, what I was trying to say was your character is just this normal sprite, I suppose. Like, as you move, like, the way a character animation works is you have a bunch of frames, and as you, like, when you push a button to, like, move your character, for example, it goes through all those frames that makes it look like the character is walking or jumping or shooting or whatever. And I guess Melon Bread, Watermelon Bread is someone I know. Anyways, Melon Bread, I think it's like Vector Man. He's basically animated using, I guess, curves or Bezier curves.
Yeah.
Which there aren't any frames. They just move. They just curve around. They bend around, and what that does makes the animation look really smooth. So you can have simple curves or straight lines, or you can have crazy stuff like stick men, really. Which, yeah. If you battle Watermelon Bread, you can definitely see the difference. Like, your character's animation looks choppy just because there's so few frames in the movement animation, but then Melon Bread is just is made of vectors and has really smooth animations.
Yeah, I know you're talking. He's the guy that is that the one that transforms into a bunch of different shit.
No, I guess lots of bosses are.
Yeah, I say a lot of the bosses in that game were pretty animated, pretty good.
Mm. That big thing that has seven forms and it's the final boss of the second world.
Yeah, that thing pissed me off.
Yeah. It's I always fought that one last, just because it had most stuff it by then.
Yeah, that's a good game. Yeah, I bought that on the PS3 a while back.
Yeah, it's worth buying.
Yeah.
So, next on your list, how long have we been recording?
I don't know. It's just chopped up into segments. Let's see here. Oh,
let's
probably
say
an hour and 10, 15 minutes, hopefully. Yeah.
We should really get through this.
Yeah. Wolfenstein 3D.
Wolfenstein 3D.
This is what made your first-person shooters big, people.
Yeah.
This is before your Duke Nukem, before your Call of Duty. And I actually just played this game last week. So, got a trophy in it.
I actually haven't... I played it a long time ago. I didn't really play it that much. But what made me remember this was I found my CD of Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which I think is a 2001 game, which has actual 3D graphics. But it looks like, it feels like Wolfenstein 3D. Now, back then, there weren't any 3D models, or you couldn't really, I suppose, but everything was just a bunch of sprites that always faced you. There was nothing on the sides, so they couldn't turn around unless they had, like, animations to turn. And there's actually a way to give that realism, I suppose, where as you rotate the character around an enemy, it shows different sprites. And you can see, like, a side or a back, I suppose. I don't remember if that's the case in Wolfenstein.
Basically, yeah. That game is hard on the eyes, I'm not going to lie. If you play that game too long, your eyes are going to hurt.
But it was like the big game.
That game, it also has a shit ton of hidden areas. Like any wall in that game could be a hidden area.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Same thing with Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, though, especially in the Wolfenstein 3D. There's no fucking map. And everywhere looks the fucking same. It gets to be a fucking bitch. It really does.
Yeah.
That really stinks.
Yeah.
I think there's a skunk outside.
Yeah.
But okay.
Last game on our list is Flashback.
Yeah, Flashback is... Oh, would you go along with me as to say it's Prince of Persia-y, kinda?
It has that same momentum feeling, like, instead of just running around with your little sprite, it actually feels like your character has some weight.
Yeah.
Like, as you jump down at an angle, you kind of roll over, and you actually feel like the guy can actually weigh down something.
Yeah, he'll actually jump and leap and...
Yeah,
you know, stop and jump up. And...
He feels kind of clumsy and kind of reminds me of the guy from Back to the Future. He even looks like him.
Yeah, you said that. That's funny. What was his name? Marty.
Marty.
Yeah.
Marty McFly. Marty. Actually, speaking of him, I was watching the Winter Olympics, and apparently the actor for Marty McFly is Canadian, because at the ending ceremony, they had three Canadian celebrities come up. The first one was Captain Kirk. The second one, I can't remember her name, Michelle or Bobby or something, I don't know. I don't know what she does. And then the last guy to come out was Marty McFly.
Nice. So
apparently he's Canadian.
I think his name's Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised. I didn't recognize him, but then he sounded familiar, and I asked my parents, "What, who is he?" And he's like, "Michael." He's like Marty McFly.
That's awesome.
So good to be a Canadian. We also won the most gold. Woohoo.
Yeah, I was gonna say something smart ass earlier, but I decided not to. I was gonna say, "Oh look, the Canadians won a hockey."
The Americans. What's to expect? Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, you've played Flashback more than me, so I guess you can describe it.
It has cutscenes. Those shitty, you know, what's a good way to put those? Siberia kind of style graphics where they're really pointy, polygony. You know, I don't know what you'd call it.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
I guess it's early 3D. I guess that's the best way to put it. But I mean, it had actual cutscenes. The game, I don't know what the story dealt with.
you get sent back in time.
I don't know why. I don't know. I barely remember it, but I know it was a bitch. Ammo was really limited, and it had to do with a lot of platform. It was a good way to put it, actually, is a time-traveling 2D Tomb Raider. That's a good way to put it, because, I mean, really, you're just exploring, climbing, shimmying, rolling, just like in Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, like we said, it's got that momentum feeling to it.
Yeah.
I saw a video of it, and I saw the animation cutscenes, and I know what you mean. They kind of look like I'm thinking of the ones from Secret of Monkey Island, where they're full screen. They're actually pretty. They actually look pretty good.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, but I mean, they're still. I mean, you can tell they're dated.
Yeah. Anyways, what I really liked about the game, it wasn't just the character sprites, it was the backgrounds. Those were really detailed.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They looked like a jungle. If I remember, the other area was kind of like a factory. But I can't remember.
Like a space, like a time travel thing, sort of?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
it's almost psychedelic or surrealistic.
Yeah,
it's almost artistic, which is a good transition to our old artistic graphics section.
Which I'm sure there's a lot more than what we have. We just both have brain farts, and
we're just thinking of like what's the most artistic stuff and. I guess a good way to start it off, it's last on the list, but it's a game called Shadow of the Beast for the Amiga, I think.
Yeah.
Basically, it's pretty simple. You run around, it's just a basic platformer. You can punch your enemies once and they die. But there are lots of enemies. The big thing is that it's so detailed for an Amiga game. It's probably so detailed that it explains why some stuff takes 30 seconds to load. Like I've seen videos of someone playing the game, and I thought my YouTube froze, but no. it's just the game loading the cutscenes.
Nice.
Which are really just a plain picture with text scrolling to the left. But the pictures are also extremely detailed. And it's just... it's extremely surrealistic. And if you... Like, I've only seen low-quality videos of them. But if there's a high definition, you could probably make out the details.
Shadow of the Beast.
Yeah. It's not Shadow of the Colossus, but you have that on our list, but that's for another podcast. Part 2. Next on our list, it's like when we picked artistic games, they weren't supposed to be just good graphics. They were supposed to be blatantly artistic. So we take next on our list was Yoshi's Island.
That's like a definite. I mean, I just looking at it, you can just be like, "Duh, yeah."
Yeah. It's yeah.
watercolor, basically. Wouldn't you say?
I was thinking more like a sketchy, like, when you think of art, you think of that sketchiness, you think of the scribbling and everything,
and that's
exactly what you get in
that
game.
Yeah, it even wiggles and stuff, like it's weirdly animated or something.
Yeah. It's like what I think it's like you draw the same thing over and over again, except nothing you draw is exactly the same, so as you animate it, you get that wiggly feeling. It's just that hand-drawn feeling that makes it that we added it to our list.
And there is a review on it on one of our shows, too. So
mm-hmm.
One of us reviewed it.
Might
have been both of us.
I don't know. Don't remember that far back.
Yeah.
I guess we should also mention Prince of Persia. I don't know if Flashback was rotoscoped, but Prince of Persia is known for its rotoscoping technique, or style, which basically means that if you basically record, you take frames of someone, you can take frames of someone doing something, and then you take those frames, put it into a graphics editing program like Photoshop or something like that, and then you draw over them, and the whole reason that they look so realistic is because it's an actual recording of someone doing something, even though it's a tracing, really. And
what was it on first?
It came out first on the Apple II computer.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. We have something that we're going to mention about Apple gaming at the end of this podcast, and it's not about iPhone gaming. But it might be something that contributes to it. Anyways, back then Apple was pretty respected for games.
Yeah, it was. It was all Apple and Apple and IBM back then. They were the two main
companies. Well, there were also games for, like, the PCs. Like, I have an old IBM PC in my closet right now. Nice. Has all those good games, like Commander Keen, Jazz Jackrabbit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But back
still
then,
work?
It still works. It needs to be dusted out, but it's never been dusted out before, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
Works, which is the true test of how good the hardware is.
Yeah.
I just think I should probably back up everything just in case something dies and I want to keep everything preserved.
Sucks, they don't build shit to last anymore.
No, it's it's for, like, it's to be, like, portable and look nice.
Yep.
Yeah, but anyways, back then, Apple was really known for their games, along with PCs, but now PCs are the only things that developers work on.
Yeah, no, it's kind of that's weird, really, how that just kind of switched.
Well, it's just because, like, all the stuff inside there is just easier upgrade. There's more advanced stuff out there now than Apple supports. Like, you could probably stick it into you could probably boot up Windows and stick something in there that would work.
Yeah.
And one more game we should mention. It's the newest one, I think, on our list. Yeah. It's the only 3D one. It's Paper Mario.
Paper Mario is crazy. I still remember seeing the commercials for that when it first came out. I was like, wow.
Flats.
If I remember correctly, it had the commercial had like a big announcer all like, yeah, it was funny.
I don't remember if the Nintendo 64 version had it, but in the Thousand Year Door, you can fold Mario into different forms, and he could be like a paper airplane or a boat or something.
Could he do that? Hold on, keep talking.
Well, you could make Mario turn into different forms. Like, it's really emphasized in Super Paper Mario, where you could like turn him around. You could go into the 3D world. You could make him. You could make him like turn 90 degrees so it looks like he's paper thin and nothing will touch him. He can turn into a tube and roll through tight spaces. He can fold himself up and spring up. He can basically because he's made of paper, he could change into different forms.
You're talking about the different forms of Paper Mario?
Yeah. Nice. I don't remember if he can do that in the Nintendo 64 version.
I barely played it. I have it on the Wii. And, yeah, I need to play it. Because I have the Thousand Year Door, and I have Super Paper Mario. Is that what it's called?
There's Super Paper Mario for the Wii.
Yeah. That's the one I've played. I beat the Thousand Year Door.
That was for GameCube.
Huh?
That was for GameCube.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I didn't beat that one. There's Super Paper Mario I didn't beat.
I did. Door. Yeah. It was kind of a letdown.
It was
alright, I guess. It's worth playing, but there's no point in playing it again.
Yeah, to me, they were a little heavy on the story, too. For a Mario game, it's like, come on.
It's not an RPG. really wraps up our list. Those were the only four games we could think of that really had that artistic quality.
Yeah, maybe when we get to the next part on the next show, we might think it's a couple more we could add to it before we go on.
Yeah, we don't want to make our topic totally new games. Anyways, before we close the show, we have a few little interesting things to mention. First of all, I guess we should probably get that Apple thing out of the way. I guess because since the iPhone and iPod Touch were so popular because of the games, I found this on some website I sometimes go to. It's called Mac Rumors. And front page, the first rumor, like, it's called Mac Rumors for a reason. There was a rumor that the Steam client that's made by Valve, who makes Team Fortress 2 and Half-Life, apparently it looks like the Steam client has some little parts, or like some lines of code, some graphics that look like they're for the Mac operating system. So the rumor is the Steam client might be heading for the Mac.
Which means
you might see Half-Life 3 on the Mac. Who knows?
And gaming just returned to Mac in general. Because Steam's a big thing, big client, big gaming client now.
Yeah. Even if it's just, the least that I see it doing is, like, managing games for your Windows partition on your Mac. What I think is that if this actually happens, then if it really kicks off, Apple might start releasing more computers that you can actually open up. Like, the Mac Pro is just like a desktop computer. You can open up and put different graphics cards in, more RAM, hard drives. And the iMac, which is the basic all-in-one, you can't really do anything except open up a slot on the bottom and add more RAM.
Yeah.
So, like, there were lots of comments in the discussion thread about it that they might support more games, might be supported more on the Macs like they used to for the Apple II and classic Macintosh. They might make more open source, open hardware computers.
And that'd probably help them out a lot.
It would.
They'd probably, if they did that, they'd probably end up on top again, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, the only reason I have Windows on my computer, for testing stuff out on Windows, like websites. But really, the only thing I have on the only reason I use Windows on my Mac is just to play games and Steam. So who knows? Yep. I know if, like, other developers might not jump on it immediately, but Valve makes their own games, Steam Fortress 2, Half-Life, stuff like that, Portal. So if they actually do get the Steam client on, and they do write more games for the Mac, then I can see more developers writing for the Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then...
all in good time.
Yeah.
All it takes is a couple of them to jump on and make some money, and the other ones are like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Valve is huge.
Oh, yeah.
So I can see them being a big influence if it does happen.
Well then, is that all you got?
That's all for the Steam client.
What's next?
Atari demo videos.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Some programmers, programmers or hobbyists take old hardware and make videos. Some videos in specific that we were looking at were for the Atari 8-bit computers or consoles. And, like, I showed Chris a video called Drunken Chessboard.
Yeah.
And I've seen two versions of it. One of them is high resolution, but it's got a lower frame rate. But the second one doesn't get a higher resolution, but it's way smoother. I didn't show Chris that one. Because I can't find it. But, yeah. They're really cool.
Yeah, those, for being 8-bit, they're a lot better quality than your Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because...
And the music.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically a big music video, and the music has that... It has this different tone than the Nintendo.
I even watched a couple while we were talking where... somebody took some, it looked like a clip of a Bugs Bunny cartoon and put it on there somehow.
So hard.
It looked like it was. It looked good though, but it's probably really time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy what people do. And how people can get this and know how to work with it now, and it's just, it's weird. You know, an old system that's obsolete, you don't think people would just pick it up and just mess around with it. Make shit like this.
It would be cheap, though.
Yeah. But it's weird.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, they're not making any money or anything off it. It's weird. I mean, we're not off this either, so, I mean...
No, it's just a hobby.
Yeah, I guess I got nothing to say.
So. Yeah. After you listen... When you listen to the music after... Like, if you listen to the music on the Atari or even the MSX music, like Metal Gear or Metal Gear 2 for the MSX 2.
Yeah.
They have this, like, if you compare the music from Metal Gear on the MSX and the NES, it sounds way different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that, actually. Because the soundtrack I did have had both versions in it. And, yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah. Seems a big difference between the first and second game. The first one sounds more like it. You know, it's older. The second one sounds more dynamic, I guess. It's really interesting after you're used to listening to Nintendo so much.
Yeah.
I guess a lot.
Yeah, those old...
lot.
What? Go on.
What
sorry.
Were you saying?
I was just gonna talk about the sound. But go on.
I was gonna go on to the last point.
Oh, well, screw it, go on. We've recorded enough.
Yeah. Well, to end the graphics topic.
For now.
We've seen graphics where it's like 2D, or 2D, 3D, first person, and third person. But there aren't really that many second person perspectives.
Oh yeah, there isn't.
There's like barely anything except one game that most old school players know this just because it's so difficult. It's called Battletoads. And I know some of you have, or like, oh, I know that game.
Oh, everyone knows that game, damn.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just interesting because it's the only game I can think of with a second-person perspective. It's the very first level, the level boss. It's partway through the level, somewhere in the later or earlier part, I'm not sure.
That's the end.
Yeah, the end. Later part. Anyways, the part where you throw a rock, where the screen goes red and you have to throw rocks at the robot, looks like you're getting the toad to throw rocks at you.
Yeah. Oh, which, I got another example. Yeah. What? I got another example of that. Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo. There's a part where you're in the Technodrome. And Shredder is like that. He's like that boss. He's in front of the screen. You see the back of his head, and you can see what he's doing. And you have to throw foot soldiers at him.
It's still kind of third person, except the angle is different. Because basically, in Battletoads, it looks like you're the one. Like if you think of a first person shooter, you have your gun in front of you. You're shooting the thing in front of you. You're shooting the boss or the enemy, whatever, but in second person, you're looking through the perspective of the enemy that you're shooting.
Oh, well, I guess you're not looking through them, but...
Well, you're looking kind of... Yeah. It's still third person. It's just the camera is at a really weird angle.
Yeah.
But it's not until you look through Shredder's eyes that it's second person. And you're controlling the turtle.
That's fun.
But yeah.
You gotta see the world through Shredder's eyes.
That'd be interesting. Anyways.
That's a wrap for now?
Yeah, that's the only second person perspective I've ever seen in the game.
We're gonna have to hunt for some sometime.
Be cool if some...
Or, yeah. Any listeners.
Yeah. Make it interactive. Make it an interactive movie. That's what we'll discuss in our next show. More graphics.
More graphics. New graphics. What do you have them labeled as?
What's that?
What do you have them labeled as?
Modern graphics.
Modern graphics. Yeah. On the next RetroCore. And the reviews that we'll do are surprises, so...
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Yeah, it's a surprise, because... Even to us, the games will be.
Well then, and anything on closing, Colin?
Nope. Want to end this show?
What?
Want to take us out, Chris?
Nice. Yeah, sure. I'll take us out on a word of advice, actually, because this pissed me off, and don't want people to fall into the same thing I did. So, let's say you're at Walmart or somewhere, and you don't want to go to the bank and put money in your account or anything, because you're already at the store, and you want to buy something on the PSN, so you're going to buy a PSN card. So, you know, you pick up a PSN card. Now, the pictures on those PSN cards aren't just, you know, advertisement or just there to make them look cool. Yeah, make sure you know what you're buying. Because I've just picked up one with, what was it, SOCOM something or other on it, you know, for $20. Took it home, put in the code, and I bought SOCOM for the PSP. So, with that being said, just watch what you're buying. Bye.
Bye.